श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री ठाकुर हरिदास की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। उनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसीमानी महारानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। इस्कान बीबीति संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी श्री समल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग जय श्री प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्ट दृशामेश पुराणार्को धुनोदितः। This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text Number 13. Sa Shraddhanasya Vivarthamanam Viraktim Anyatra Karoti Pungsaha Harehe Padanusmriti Nirvrtasya समस्त दुखा अप्ययम् आशो धत्ते साश्रद्धानस्य विवर्धमाना विरक्तिमन्यत्र करोति पुंसः हरेः पदानुस्मृति निर्वृतस्य समस्त दुःखाप्ययमाशु धत्ते
Thank you.
तस्य समस्त दुःखाप्ययमाश्रितत्ते. Ladies, saw those topics of Krishna or Krishna Katha. Shradadhanasya, of one who is anxious to hear. Vivarthamana, gradually increasing. Viraktim, indifference. Anyatra, in other things than such topics. Karoti, does. Pungsaha, of one who is so engaged. Harehe, of the Lord. Pada anusmriti, constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. Nirvratasya, one who has achieved such transcendental bliss. Samasta dukkha, all miseries. Apyayam, vanquished. Asho, without delay. Dhatte, executes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For one who is anxious to engage constantly in hearing such topics, Krishna Katha gradually increases his indifference towards all other things. Such constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna by the devotee who has achieved transcendental bliss vanquishes all his miseries without delay. Please repeat. For one who is anxious to engage constantly in hearing such topics, Krishna Katha gradually increases his indifference towards all other things. Such constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna by the devotee who has achieved transcendental bliss vanquishes all his miseries without delay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We must certainly know that on the absolute plane, Krishna Katha and Krishna are one and the same. The Lord is the absolute truth, and therefore his name, form, quality, etc., which are all understood to be Krishna Katha, are non-different from him. Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Lord, is as good as the Lord himself. When a sincere devotee reads Bhagavad Gita, this is as good as seeing the Lord face to face, in his personal presence. But this is not so for the mundane wrangler. All the potencies of the Lord are there when one reads Bhagavad Gita, provided it is read in the way recommended in the Gita by the Lord himself. One cannot foolishly manufacture an interpretation of Bhagavad Gita and still bring about transcendental benefit. Anyone who tries to squeeze some artificial meaning or interpretation from Bhagavad Gita for an ulterior motive is not Shraddhatana Pungsaha, one engaged anxiously in bona fide hearing of Krishna Katha. Such a person cannot derive any benefit from reading Bhagavad Gita, however great a scholar he may be in the estimation of a layman. The Shraddhatana, or faithful devotee, can actually derive all the benefits of Bhagavad Gita because by the omnipotency of the Lord, he achieves the transcendental bliss which vanquishes attachment and nullifies all concomitant material miseries. Only the devotee, by his factual experience, can understand the import of this verse spoken by Vidura. The pure devotee of the Lord enjoys life by constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, by hearing Krishna Katha. For such a devotee, there is no such thing as material existence. And the much-advertised bliss of Brahmananda is like a fig for the devotee who is in the midst of the transcendental ocean of bliss. Om jnana timarantasya jnanan jinashalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. Mukam kuruti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinitaranam. Vanchakalpatrukhishya kripasindhubya evacha paritanam pavane pyo vaishnave pyo namo nama. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very special verse today. The subject of this verse is Sa. Sa means she. She? Many languages have genders for their nouns. Spanish is one of them. In Sanskrit, we have three genders, masculine, feminine, neuter. So nouns are ascribed with gender. And this is a personal pronoun, sa, her. But it's her only because it's describing something which is feminine. What is that? In this verse, it's not there. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, it refers to the previous verse, text number 12, we heard yesterday. Harehe katha. The topics about Hari. Katha, the word katha is feminine. This is the point. So it refers to Krishna katha. This is the idea. And Viraraghavacharya of the Sri Sampradaya, he also concurs. Sa means Hari katha. But Madhvacharya says differently. Madhvacharya says it refers to mati, one's attention. That also happens to be a feminine noun, and it's also in the previous verse. So we have a disagreement here. Sridhar Swami says it can refer either to mati or katha, because they're both feminine after all. And that's the way he takes it. Sa katha matirva. So this is the point. Whether we're talking about our attention focused on Krishna, which produces this transcendental bliss that is enough to drown out the miseries of material existence, or whether we're talking about the katha itself, which is innately powerful, being Krishna himself, this is the subject of the verse today. Actually, Jiva Goswami in his, where is it? I think it's in his Bhakti Sandarbha, perhaps, I don't remember. Maybe Krama Sandarbha. He says, he emphasizes this in commenting on this verse, that Krishna and Krishna Katha are non-different. This is the point that Prabhupada takes up in his purport. Yeah, this is Krama Sandarbha. Sa Harehe Katha. So he takes it clearly. Hari Katha. Samasteti Shri Hari Sakshat Karene Iti Bhava. The idea is that Hari Katha is everything to a devotee because it's non-different from Krishna. We heard Srila Prabhupada explain very esoteric thing this morning after Mangalarti about Kama Gayatri. So in exactly the same way, the Kama Gayatri is the flute of Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the smiling face of Krishna, especially this the 10th canto. But any kind of Krishna Katha, it's non-different from Krishna. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha purnashatanati mukto abhinatun nama nami noho. There's no distinction between the name and the person who is named. We're talking about Harinam now. That's another thing that's not different from Krishna, Tadiya. So, this is the topic of today's verse. And our focus on these topics of Krishna is what increases our taste for hearing. Our acharyas have described in commenting on the beginning of the 10th canto, first three, four verses, fourth verse in particular, famous verse. Anybody know? Nirvritta tarshe rupa giyamana bhavaushadat shrotra manovidamat ka uttama shloka gunanu vadat puman virat jeta vinapashuknat. There the idea is that for the person who is done with material life, when he tastes Krishna Katha, it really does something for him. It's different. There are three kinds of hearers, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. The liberated souls, muktas, those who want liberation, the mumukshus, and those who are materialists, and more than materialists, sinful rascals. The ironic thing is that none of them actually experiences full satisfaction from Krishna Katha, but for very different reasons. The muktas cannot get enough of Krishna Katha. For that reason, they're never satisfied. This is the point of these verses that we're hearing in this passage from Vidura. And the mumukshus, who are desiring liberation, here they're called shraddhanas, people, and it's interesting because Shraddhana actually means somebody who has faith. But actually, Srila Prabhupada consistently translates it here, not only in his word-for-word synonyms, but in his translation and again in the purport. He paraphrases. Shraddhana means somebody who is anxious to engage constantly in hearing. We're not like that. We can handle half an hour in the morning, or on Sunday afternoon, or, you know, once in a while. But all the time? That's like way over the top for most of us. So what does it mean? Yes, we are mumukshus. We're aspiring after liberation, but we're aspiring after other things as well, unfortunately. Think about it. Your faith, what is that? Krishna says, shradhamayo ayam purushaha. Whatever your faith is, that's you. That's what you are. Look at your body in the mirror. This is the result of your faith. Your faith produced this thing. And as long as we maintain the same kind of faith, we will keep taking the same kind of material bodies, one after another, after another. But when we purify our faith, intensify, deepen our faith, then we actually go somewhere. So faith, adau shraddha, faith is the root, it's the beginning thing. And we hear, if we study carefully Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, and it continues into 18, faith is of three kinds. You can have sattvic faith, you can have rajasic faith, you can have tamasic faith. What kind of faith do you have? Well, that's what you are. So it's very important. The three kinds of hearers, the muktas, the mumukshus, and the Pashuknas, animal killers, or soul killers, Prabhupada also says, they're distinguished by their different levels of faith. We know this from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Your advancement is determined always by your faith. The difference between a Kanishta Adhikari, a Madhyama Adhikari, and an Uttama Adhikari is also only based on faith. There are different symptoms, but those symptoms, they follow from your faith. So, luckily for us, all three of these categories of hearers, they become purified in their faith over time. Here the word is used, there's two things mentioned here, two adverbs Prabhupada gives in his explanation of this verse. One, gradually it happens. Two, quickly it happens. So how do you understand that? Ashudhatte, it's in the last line. Ashu means very quickly. If your faith is really elevated, if you're nirvritta, that means sukhitaha, if you've been made in, from a hippie into a happy, as Prabhupada used to say, if you've become blissful, then your faith very quickly elevates you beyond all this misery. My God, what kind of miseries do we have in 2022? It's ridiculous, isn't it? So, faith is important, and we have to make a distinction. We have to very clearly understand what is the situation with ourselves. Are we liberated souls? Probably not. Most likely we aren't, but it's possible. Are we aspiring for liberation? Well, yeah, but we're, as we said, we're also, you know, I saw them on Sunday. Arjita Prabhu told me that when you give the lecture, expect at about 1 o'clock, half your audience will leave. Why? Because their faith is in socializing with their friends and, you know, taking prasadam happily, and you know, maybe they come just to play mridanga and whatever. That's the kind of faith. They're also mumukshus, otherwise they wouldn't be coming, but it's mixed. This is the problem. So we're not liberated, and we're mumukshus to a degree, but if we can purify that degree, then it's a different thing. And then, I mean, count your blessings, because there's all kinds of people in the greater Los Angeles area who are not interested in this at all. And many people who are actually opposed to this. Do you know this? There are people working around the clock, 24 hours a day worldwide, just to make sure that they erase any trace of Krishna consciousness from the face of the earth. Yes, they're doing that. Deliberately, consciously, and very diligently. I won't name particular parties, but they're there, and they're called Pashugnas. These are the people, when they hear Krishna consciousness, they get angry, they get irritated by it, and they don't like it, they try to get rid of it. So, but all of them, if they hear somehow or other, they will increase in their faith. In various degrees, depending on what? This is the crucial thing here. Shraddhana. Depending on the intensity of their eagerness to hear and the intensity of the faith that they have in that process. So for the nirvritta tarshas, as we said, or here they're called nirvrittas, for them it happens quickly, for the rest of us it happens gradually. That's the point. These three divisions are there. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary suggests something like what we have heard from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text number 62, famous verse. Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakohe Sudrahanishchoy Krishna Bhakti Kailak Sarvakramakritahoy. A person who has really strong faith, he believes that all I have to do is hear eagerly, constantly. And everything that I need, actually, is taken care of. The problem is that we believe we need things that are not really necessary. That is our illusion. So our faith is watered down in so many ways. But Shraddha means confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. So how many of us are actually on that level of absolute faith? He calls it the faith that parama purusharta. You actually believe that your topmost aim in life is this Krishna consciousness, and particularly hearing with eagerness at every moment. Now, what do we do if we're not so detached like that? That's the real question. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami quotes this verse, today's verse, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and he says, it shows what he calls Padama Vairagyotpadagatva, the fact that pure devotional service creates detachment. Have we heard this elsewhere? Devotional service creates detachment? Anybody know the verse I'm thinking of? First Canto, Chapter 2. Yes, Janayati Ashu Vairagyam. The Bhagavatam is a little more optimistic than this verse in that chapter. It very quickly generates detachment, some detachment, but the degree of detachment, it matters. That depends on our intensity. So, how is this so? In yesterday's verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explained very nicely, the minds of men absorbed in material pleasure become controlled by Vyas through stories about Artha and Kama, in order that their minds enter into sections such as Bhagavad Gita and Narayaniya. Narayaniya is the appendix of the Mahabharata. They have mundane things. If you read Mahabharata, you don't find so much that Krishna is so front and center, emphasizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that bhakti is the only worthy goal in human life. You don't find that so much. It's there, certainly, but there's a lot of other things, because otherwise, how are we going to get any taste for it? People need to hear some masala, as we say in Hindi. Spice. So for the materialist, the spicy things are what? Sex and violence. Hollywood knows this. You have to put that in there. And Mahabharata is full of this. Puranas in general are full of these things also. But they're done in such a way that they elevate. This is what he says. When they become attracted to those topics, then they become elevated. Otherwise, by not listening to spiritual topics, they would never touch them. Like the Pashugnas. They don't want to hear it. I don't waste my time. They tell us when we go on book distribution. Then he quotes some nice verses from Itihasa Samuchaya. The question is raised there. What result can be attained by describing the lust of lusty men and the greed of greedy men except to send them to the darkness of hell? But in the Mahabharata, lust and greed are described in such a way as to purify people's hearts. And moreover, they're condemned by stories that have pure meaning. Otherwise, why would the most merciful and learned Vyas describe lust and greed, which are the cause of bondage to terrible material existence? This is the whole point of these other Puranas. And we know from chapter 5 of the first canto when Narad Muni chastised Vyasadeva that you've not been direct enough. Yes, you're attracting people. I guess you can call this bridge preaching. Yes, you're very attractive presentation that's there. But you got to make sure that you're actually elevating somebody. Bridge. A bridge is supposed to go somewhere else than where you are. This is the point. So in this spirit, Chanakya Kautilya also in his Niti Dharpan, he quotes, Pratar dyuta prasangena madhyahne stri prasangataha ratrau chaura prasangena kalo gacchanti dhimatam. Very witty, he says. The time of the wise passes while discussing gambling in the morning, women during the day, and thieves at night. What does that mean? What does it mean? Think about this. Mahabharata, Yudhishthira, Pandavas, they were gambling. Draupadi Harana, Chiraharana, that whole pastime happened as a result of gambling. Even Bhagavatam, we find some gambling is also there. That's how the king of Kalinga received his free dental work. So in the morning, they're hearing Mahabharata, Majhani Stri Prasangataha, hearing about a woman during the day. Which woman? Sita. That's Ramayana. And Ratrau Chaura Prasangena. In the evening, we hear about thief. Who is the thief? we know. Payasya chauras paradara chauras trivastra chauras suravriksha chaura samsara chaura sakaladhi chaura shriyapate tvam navanita chaura. My dear Lord of Lakshmi, you are known as Navanita Chora, or as we sing in the morning, Navanita Taskara, thief of butter. You have stolen milk products in Vrindavan, Paya Suchoda, Paradara Choda, you steal women's clothing. Yes, this is there in the Bhagavatam. Sri Vastra Choda, Paradara Choda, you take other people's wives also. Yes, that's also there, he does it. Sangsara Choda, you steal away material existence. Sakaladhi Choda, actually you steal everything. Mrityu Sarva Harashjaham. Shriyapate Tvam Navanita Choda. Discussing this in the evening is the ultimate goal of life. So in this way, this is called Subhashita, a well-put phrase. They discuss the gambling in the morning, women in the midday, and thieves at night. Okay. So, this works. Srila Prabhupada has commented on the verse we've already mentioned, 10.1.4. Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. Srila Prabhupada ki, he goes on to say, a practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin krithartosmi varam nayache. My dear Lord, he said, I'm fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. Now, Srila Prabhupada brings it to ISKCON. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction, they're no longer interested in material sense gratification, end quote. After all, detachment follows from gaining a superior taste. When does Krishna tell us this in Bhagavad Gita? Exactly. Vishayavina vartante nirahadasya dehinaha. Nirahadasya dehinaha means when you're fasting, you really appreciate something to eat. You have the taste still. We're not fasting every day, so we know very well. It's fresh in the memory, so to speak, what eating is like. And so it's difficult to fast. But when we have a higher engagement and a higher taste from that engagement, we automatically forget. This is, every devotee knows this, if we're serious. Narasingha Dev Jayanti is coming up, so you'll get an opportunity. Absorb yourself in devotional service all the way until dusk. You won't even notice the time passing. The higher taste. So, Viragavacharya therefore glosses the word here, nirvritasya, as sukhitasya. Those who are truly happy. They've become happy. In Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchheda 3.10, Jiva Goswami also quotes this verse. Famous verse, it seems. Today's verse. You wouldn't know it, would you? And indirectly, he glorifies the genuine attachment to Krishna that eventually develops when we hear faithfully every day, whether we like it or not. That's called discipline. He says, now, raganuva bhakti will be discussed. When a person develops a taste for a particular type of raga, but has not actually developed such raga, and the heart like a crystal glows with the rays of the moon of that raga, he develops a taste for the mode of ragatmika bhakti, which is described in the scriptures. We don't really know what Radharani and her friends experience. We don't know what Nanda and Yashoda experience, even Krishna's boyfriends. We don't really know, but we have some attraction because the glow is reflecting on the crystal of our heart, that same color. Whatever you associate with, Rupa Goswami says, our hearts are like crystals, and they reflect whatever our association is. It, the same color, you put it next to something red, it becomes red. Green, green. Blue, blue, ityadi. So, that person performs raganuga bhakti, which follows the taste for that particular raga. Raganuga means you follow those who actually have raga, even though you don't have it. This is the idea. And then he says, because vaidhi bhakti is dependent on rules, it's weaker. Think mental here. Mental plane. Most of us are functioning on the mental plane. The mind doesn't go by laws. The mind goes by what it wants. You see? So when we make Krishna what we want, then it's very safe position to be in. There's no threat from anything. This is why all the acharyas are saying, Govinda Das Kaviraj, for example, Pajahure Man, Sri Nandanandan. Fix the mind on Krishna first. Savai mana Krishna Padaravinda Yoho Dadi. So, because Vaidhi Bhakti is dependent on rules, it's weak. Raganuga Bhakti, however, is performed independent of rules. It is thus strong. This point should be understood, and it should be understood properly, I might add, not improperly. The following verse describes the birth of this taste for nothing except for bhakti. Now listen closely. Sa shraddhanasya vivartamana virakti manyatra karoti pungsaha harehi padanu smriti nirvratasya samasta dukkapyayam ashutatte. Does it sound familiar? Today's verse. Taste for topics of the Lord increasing in the mind of the devotee creates disgust for everything else. Not only detachment, actually disgust, he says. That taste quickly destroys all the suffering for the person blissfully engaged in constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the previous verse refers to the topics of the Lord which capture the mind, like Mahabharata, other kind of quasi-worldly shastras are there. They catch the mind, but they direct it towards what? Sadhu Sangha and Shravana Kirtana. And that process quickly develops into this taste. All we have to do is submit. We just have to be faithful and obey the spiritual master's instructions. Follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti. Eventually that should bring us to the platform of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And then very quickly, this is the point of the last line, Ashutate, very quickly, the miseries of material existence, we no longer even notice them. Just like when we're busily absorbed on festival days with service, we don't even notice that we're fasting. We don't even notice that we're hungry. This is the idea. Okay, so I think the time is up now. Just a few things I wanted to mention in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Just want to underline these sentences. First, he says, we must certainly know that on the absolute plane, Krishna Katha and Krishna are one and the same. This is imperative. The verb is imperative. You have to do this. You have to know this. Certainly you have to know this. We should think about that. When a sincere devotee reads Bhagavad Gita, he associates with Krishna directly, but when a Pashukna doesn't, it doesn't do the same thing. Because one of them is sincere and the other one is not. And he says, those who are twisting and twangling for their own purposes, they can't get any benefit, even though they're highly respected. There's a lot of these people, actually. I used to work with them. They know our books better than we do, but they're not willing to budge in terms of surrender. So they can't understand a thing. And then finally he says, by the omnipotency of the Lord. We can't understand how it happens, but Krishna's mercy is all powerful. And by that inconceivable omnipotency, we get a kind of transcendental bliss that vanquishes all of our attachments and all of our sufferings. Only the devotee can actually have this experience factually and can understand the purport of this verse spoken by Vidura, Srila Prabhupada says. So in this way, pure devotees enjoy life by constantly remembering the Lord's lotus feet. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions? Any comments? Do we have time? No questions? Yes.
The Bhagavad Gita, if it is not presented, if it's twisted, yeah, it wouldn't have the same effect. So my question is, nowadays we have many devotees who translate Bhagavad Gitas, assuming that, and we expect that they don't have any ulterior motives, will the effect be the same as the one that Prabhupada is presenting? According to this statement.
That's a very good question and probably a touchy one also. I would say that there is value in everyone and there is similarly value in all things. But the discretion, what to do when, that comes from mercy. And we have to work under the guidance of a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is for the purpose of awakening Krishna Bhakti. Mm-hmm. And we see, practically speaking, only Bhagavad Gita as it is has actually done that worldwide, at least for thousands of people. That's very clear. It's proven already. Case closed. Another devotee, even a follower of Srila Prabhupada, might write his own Bhagavad Gita, but he serves a different purpose. I can see that justification. If you want to, for example, my godbrother Garuda Prabhu, he's translated 10th canto. He also wrote his own Bhagavad Gita. If he wants to appeal to scholars who would not read Bhagavad Gita as it is because they're Pashuknas, okay, maybe there's some worth in that. I don't think it needs to be really advertised far and wide and publicly or even necessarily sold in our gift shops. But another crucial point is that there should be a distinction very clearly made. And it should not be that we end up with everybody else's books except for Srila Prabhupada's books. That's wrong. That's simply wrong. Make no mistake about it. It cannot bode well for our movement. So there has to be a clear distinction made between books that are written to serve some particular time, place, circumstance, purpose, maybe in preaching Krishna consciousness, maybe not. We don't know really what's in another person's heart. But there should always be a very clear distinction. These books are the spiritual law books for the next 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada wrote them very carefully. He did not want them tampered with and he did not want them replaced by other things. So that has to be very clearly, that discrimination has to be applied. Discrimination is the key word of Madhyama Adhikar. Is that a satisfactory answer?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.